Okay, so good evening, everybody. Actually, I have to apologize for the title because part of this talk will be about visualizing package clusters as it was in the abstract. But since people were asking me during this conference various stuff about how's things going in a research project I'm involved with, I'm going to have both parts. So basically, it will be an update of what we have been doing in this research project called Mancusi, and also an update on how we are using tools from a previous project called IDOS to do Debian quality assurance on a daily basis and also for releases. So will be three parts basically. The first part will be a brief overview of some tools we are using, which comes from a project called IDOS, which descends from some years ago. Some will be about some new tools, and some will be about presenting stuff which is coming next. So let's start with what was called the IDOS project, which that's the word you might have been seeing in some tools like IDOS DebCheck or the Debian Weather. And it's actually about an old research project which was running since from 2004 to 2007. It was a European-funded project which involved various universities in Europe. Among them, there's Paris 7, which is the university I'm currently working with. And also, the project involved various Linux distribution companies like Mandriva and Caixamagica, which is a Portuguese distribution. And the objective of the project was actually helping out we, package maintainers, in creating a high-quality distribution. So the focus was on Debian maintainers, and in particular in how to produce, manage a distribution like we do every day, and in particular looking at the formal part of packages, so mainly inter-package dependencies, and how a formal study of these kind of things can help out in doing Q&A quality assurance work. So Debian was not officially involved, mainly for the reason that it has no, so it is not a company, and usually when you go to the EU is kind of hard to go with a non-profit association. But one Debian developer named Ralf Trainen was involved and actually was working in contributing back code to Debian, and it was quite successful. So as a lot of research projects, IDOS was split in various work packages according to different subjects. The part on which I've been mainly involved was actually the first part, so formal management of software dependencies. So actually, nowadays it is becoming more and more a common concept, those of component-based software, but we in Debian and all Linux distribution has been pioneering this concept since quite a while. And the main question of component-based software, which has been addressed in the IDOS project, was this one. So, is it possible, given a user selection of packages, to install them when we consider that repository as closed? So, basically, you took a distribution like Debian is, which is a set of packages, and you ask yourself, can I, in some configuration, whatever configuration, install each single package? So, why we are interested in this? Well, because if you have a distribution whose packages are not installable, well, those packages are not really useful. But still, you do work on them, you spend effort in uploading them, you spend QA effort in tracing them, these bugs, and stuff like that. So, to do that, basically, in Mancusi, they formalized a simple mathematical model of a distribution. So, it's very simple and it's based on simple propositional logic. And the key point of the formalization of dependencies. So we all know this is a snippet of a control file, basically. So you have a package, you have its dependence line, sometimes written by us, sometimes written automatically by some tools we use. But still, in the end, what the user receives is a package with a specific line of dependencies like that one. So the idea to formalize this kind of relationship between packages is to interpret these kind of lines as formula. Logic formula where you have the usual stuff from simple logic, so conjunction, disjunction, basically. However, you cannot do that really in a naive manner because when we say a name of a package in a dependency line, we are not really saying a specific version of a package. We are saying whatever version we have in the archive of that package. So if we just say libc6, it can be whatever version of libc6 it's available, which usually and hopefully is just one, but it can be more than one. And actually, we also have virtual packages. So we have some packages in Archive which depends on things like mail transport agent, but actually that's not a single package, it's a disjunction of packages. So basically, there's a simple mapping between dependencies and packages, but you have this kind of expansion where you use where you expand a single package name to a disjunction of various packages. So given that, how do you model a repository? Well, a repository becomes a set of packages. Okay, to each package in that repository is associated to a formula, to a logic formula like the one I've shown you before. And in addition to that, globally, you define a set of conflicts. So identify in a given repository all pairs of packages which are not co-installable. Okay, because we are used to declare conflicts in only one way. So a package declares a conflict towards another package, but the conflict is actually bidirectional. So even we only say in one direction that a package A conflicts with a package B, that's actually the true also in the other sense. So once you've done all that, the question of whether a package is installable or not is equivalent to a problem which is known in computer science called SAT, which stands for satisfiability, and basically boils down to deciding whether a given formula is actually satisfiable or not. And how works the mapping? Well, each package P we have in Archive becomes a single variable, which can be true or false, where true means that this package has to be installed and false means that it has not. Each dependency becomes an implication. So in the first example, we have seen that a term depended on libc6 and on either libic or xlibs. Yes, the example is quite old. And you have this translating to a logic implication. So if you install a term, then you need to install also libc6 and one of the two other packages. So this way you form a mapping between dependencies and implication. And additionally, conflicts get translated to formula which states that no two packages which are in conflict can be installed together. So in this slide you see not A and B. That means that you will not be able to have at the same time A and B installed and having your formula satisfiable. Okay? A not so nice consequence of this mapping is that deciding whether a package is installable or not becomes an NP-complete problem, which is a kind of problem which are well known to be really hard and requiring an exponential complexity in the size of the archive. And we have 20,000 packages in the archive. Luckily, all instances we are facing in reality are quite easy to solve. So if we think at the problem of installing with apt a specific version of libc6 in a given package repository, like the one which is shown on the left, you get a big formula, which is satisfiable only if a given package manager has a way to install that specific package. So this example is quite small. You just ask for a package, and you get a formula with a lot of literals on the right. And yeah, as you can imagine, formula can become quite big. So for instance, if you try to install a KDE package and you look at the corresponding formula, you get a formula which is something like 32,000 literals. So it is a really, really big object, even if it is usually easy to solve. Where comes the quality assurance from all this? Well, you basically start looking at a repository. A repository, which is a set of packages, and you start thinking about good properties of that repository. So what does a user see of a repository? He sees its own installation. So it sees its package status, which is usually a subset of the packages coming from the repository. We say that this subset, this installation, it's healthy, so it is in good shape if basically dependencies are satisfied. That's what usually we say in our terminology. And what does it mean for dependencies to be satisfied? It means two things. The first one is that all dependencies, all packages which are installed, have their dependencies installed, and we have called that abundancy. And also, you require that all packages are in peace, so there are no two packages installed which are in mutual conflict. And then we look at repositories, and we define the property of being trimmed. Being trimmed for repositories means that all singular packages, every single package in the archive is installable. That does not necessarily mean that it's installable on your machine, because you can want to have a package installed, which is in conflict with that one, and you will never be able to install the other package. But still, there should be at least one way to install that package. Otherwise, your package is completely useless, and there is pointless to distribute it in the distribution. So do you think we have some kind of packages in our distribution? Well, actually, we have quite a lot of them. So it is quite common to find in some of our distribution packages which are not installable at all. And to help out, in the EDOS project, they developed tools which help in finding these packages and possibly avoiding to release them. So this is a sampling of some of the tools which have been developed in that project. The most popular one is probably EDOS DevCheck, which is a command line tool which you can use to check whether a given set of packages file is actually contains some non-installable packages. And I will show some example of it in a bit. Then there is PackageLab, which is like an interactive console. So it's not interactive in the sense that it's graphical or anything like that. But it is a text console with which you can play with packages. So we can try to create situation in which the user can end up, like having stable and testing at the same time, and do in this artificial environment check about whether packages are installable or not. And then other two which have not been adopted yet only Tart, actually. Civit's an internal component which is used by PackageLab and DevCheck. And the last one is called Tart, which is a tool to help splitting packages into medias. And basically, the idea is that it ensures some good properties, like if you split Debian in 10 different CDs, well, you have the guarantee that all packages, like in the third CD, can be installed without requiring packages from the next CDs. So basically that you can install whatever package you want without having to do disk jockeying with your CDs. At worst, you will need to insert all of them. So about the EDOS DevCheck. So it's a command line tool you can install by installing the EDOS DevCheck package, which is in the archive since a couple of years now. So basically it consumes at simput packages file for apt, binary packages file, and check by default if every single package that you have been giving to the tool is installable or not. If it is not, it usually tries to provide you with an explanation, and which is not shown here because it's not the right option. But anyhow, the point is that it is a really fast tool. So for example, to check the all of a testing machine some weeks ago on MD64, it takes like 5 seconds to check all packages in the archive. We are using it quite a lot in Debian, actually, for quality assurance. So the first use, it's a daily monitor that you can find on the web, which is at edos.debian.net. And every day, it checks all of our testing and unstable distribution to see whether they contain uninstallable packages or not. And there are reports which we are using in the QA team to check why those packages are non-installable. Sometimes you have transient reasons, like a build D not catching up. Sometimes you have a convenience reason, like you have an arc all package, but which is not in sync with some architecture or any package. And sometimes there are really a really serious packaging bug, and it should be obviously fixed. So another interesting use of EDOS DevCheck has been doing by Neely Williams in MDebian. So basically what they do in MDebian is, before uploading a package to the MDebian archive, they check, even to the unstable archive, okay? They check whether the upload of this package will lead to some uninstallable package in the archive. And if it does, they refrain to upload and try to understand first what they need to fix before going ahead with the upload. So that's kind of interesting, but is not directly applicable to Debian itself, because from the moment where we upload packages to the archive, it is not immediate that the package show up in the archive. The obvious example are build Ds. So you upload for an architecture, but before it gets rebuilt on other architectures, it can take a while. So the check you do in that moment is not necessarily significant. Another reason is additional checks like the new queue. So I can do the check right now on my laptop whether a new package is going to break something, but then the package takes 2 weeks to enter the archive, and so my test has been actually pointless. So what you're trying to think is whether it would be interesting or not to add some advisory hook to dput to check whether Only as a warning, you know. So you try uploading a package, you see that it's gonna screw up something. So either it is expected or you need to look into it. Another application is Eidos Build Depth Check, which basically do the same game as build at depth check, but on the build dependencies. So you basically also provide a source package file, and you check whether all build dependencies of packages in the archive are actually satisfiable. If they are not, it means that there is a package which is not rebuildable in the archive and is something to be fixed as well. An interesting hack has been done this morning, actually, by Nomeata, which I think the... What? All right, an interesting usage of this tool has been implemented by Nomeata this morning. So basically the idea is to make wanna build use this kind of tool to check before trying to build a package whether its build dependency are satisfiable or not. If they are not, it is actually pointless to try the build, and you can automatically set the package in depth weight. Finally, another interesting use of this kind of technologies has been in detecting conflicts. So basically, we want to avoid this kind of message, which we see quite often in Unstable, which is package blah is trying to overwrite package file blah, which belongs to another package. And so what we do to detect this is basically trying to see whether two packages which can be co-installed actually share a file or not. So we scan the contents file, and we check whether there is a way to install two packages which actually share a file. Sometimes there are false positives, like if the maintainer script used dpkg diver or stuff like that, but we check them manually before actually verifying that. And we filed quite a lot of bugs about that. We do that on a routine basis and help squashing some bugs in Debian. And of course, you might have seen the Debian weather, which actually shows the forecast of how many packages are not installable in a given architecture. And this is actually just for fun. It's basically shown the amount of uninstallable package in a given architecture and shows them in a form of weather. So really bad weather means that a lot of packages are not installable on a given architecture. For example, Alpha is quite rainy. So Package Lab is another tool, which is a console-based tool where you can do various play with packages, and you can, for instance, load current package list, past package list, and play with them. You can do package installability check on their in style of depth check on the installation you are building, and you have some kind of functional query language to check what is going on. So actually, this is nothing more than depth check, but you have an interactive environment where you can create your own distribution. So I'm sorry for the small font, but on the left, there is basically an interactive session where you basically check Unstable with itself. So you check whether all packages in a given distribution are installable, same thing as Eidos depth check. But you can do the same like 2 months ago if you have been injecting all historic information into the tool, which can keep a database of the evolution of a given suite. And you can do also co-installability tests. So for instance, you can check whether PHP 4 and PHP 5 are co-installable in a given suite and stuff like this. So this was the work which have been done in the Eidos project, actually before I joined that. And it is a work for us, distribution side, okay? So tools to help out in doing quality assurance verification. From that, it starts another project, which involved more or less the same people, but actually took on board some other Linux distribution, which is called the Mancusi project. And basically, the Mancusi project is shifting the attention from the side of who make distribution to the side of the users. And in particular, the user we are concerned with a system administrator. So what we do basically is try to address a couple of problems that can show up when you do upgrades in a general sense. So when you use your package manager to change something on your machine. And as before, Debian is not officially involved for the same kind of bureaucratic problem. But now we are two DDs working on this project. And we also this time try to contribute code back to Debian. So it is me and Ralf Tyne. And the focus of the project is what we call the upgrade problem. So problem is used in a generic sense, actually. So a problem is what the kind of issue the package manager need to solve when you ask it to solve some dependency, to install a package, to remove a package, or anything else you can ask your package manager. So of this particular scenario, MQTT is trying to work on two different parts. The first part is rollback support. So basically, we are trying to provide technology which will help in going back to the state where your machine was before you attempted an upgrade. So actually, this has been doing from two levels, a technological level, so you in trying to integrate in package managers technologies like snapshotting techniques or this kind of stuff, or on a more formal level, like trying to develop a saner language for maintainer script than a shell script, so where you have instructions that have a semantic that allow you to go back to what happened, to what was the state before. But the part I'm mostly involved with is, again, dependency solving. So we are trying to improve the current state of dependency solving in package managers. So for instance, I'm not sure all of us is aware that apt-get, the package manager we all use, is not always able to solve dependencies even if there is a solution. So there are a lot of cases in which you have some way to install a package, but apt-get is not able to find that solution and propose it to you. Okay, so we are trying to solve this kind of expressivity problem. While doing that, we actually started studying an interesting object, which is the dependency graph of Debian. So imagine putting on a graph all binary packages of Debian. So if you take unstable, it is about 25,000 packages, and start drawing lines between packages each time one package has a dependency on another package. Okay, the graph you obtain that way is quite huge. So it has about 20,000 nodes and about 400,000 edges. So it's something it's really hard to grasp, to print, to manipulate with whatever tool we tried. For the fans of data, this is the actual growing of this kind of graph during the years. So on the X, we have the release of Debian starting from 0.93, and then we go on. And basically, the growth of this graph has been exponential since a couple of releases ago, and now is stabilizing, luckily for us, because we were not able to have exponential manpower to work on our distribution. And so we are trying to give a meaning to the arrow you have in this kind of graph. So basically, we are asking ourselves if the dependency between two packages is meaningful in the sense that what will happen when I will change a package in the archive. So in particular, we are trying to ask the question, can I move a package P, which is in the archive, without affecting another package Q, which can depend on it? And this kind of answer, you cannot really answer on the basis only of direct dependencies, because a package can be depending on another package, but the dependency can be meaningless in the sense that you have an alternative dependency on something else, and your users are always using that as a dependency. Okay? Or you can have virtual packages. So a package can depend on MTA, but that does not tell you much about whether the package is useful or can have a problem with respect to sendmail, which is just one of the provider of that virtual package. So we introduced another notion, which is called a strong dependency. So we declare that a package P strongly depends on a package Q if there is no way, okay, to install P without installing Q. So these two packages are really intimately related. You cannot touch one without affecting the other. What are the relationship between this kind of notion and the other notion of dependency? So the notion of dependency we use and we declare in our control file. Well, sometimes they are related, sometimes they are not. Consider, for example, the first example. So here we have a package P, which depends on Q and R. So the fact that I haven't written anything like there means that this is a hand dependency. And here we have a package A, which depends on either B or C. Okay, so these strong dependencies, which are entailed by this kind of relationship, are nothing here, because looking only at this, you have no guarantee that Q is installed whenever P is installed, or that R is installed whenever P is installed. No, sorry, this case. So here you have an alternative dependency, so you really don't know if A is installable if anytime you install A, you have B, or if anytime you install A, you have C. On the contrary, here you have N dependencies, and so you have the guarantee that Q and R are always installed when P is. Okay? So the idea is that touching Q, like releasing a new version or upgrading E on your machine, will for sure have an impact on P, okay? Because it is always installed when P is. So these are the simple cases, but the other cases get more complicated. For example, consider a case in which you have an alternative dependency, which gives you no information on whether Q and R are installed, but for some reason you also have a conflict between R and P. Okay, and note that this conflict can come from far, far away. Can come from the fact that R depends on a lot of packages, and in the end you have a package which is in conflict with P. So in this kind of scenario, each time you install P, Q is also forcibly installed. Okay? So there is some correlation between the two. Don't be scared. I'm just showing here that each time you have a package that have a lot of reverse dependencies, in the usual sense we have, that package has also a lot of reverse strong dependencies. So you have a lot of packages depending on him. But there are exceptions. Okay? So why are these interesting? Well, we try to define a notion of how delicate is a package in a given distribution. Okay? And we define that notion as the number of reverse strong dependencies on the package. So the number of packages which are forcibly installed when you install this kind of package. And on top of this, we define a notion of sensitivity. So the question is, what do you think is the most dangerous package in Lenny? So the package that will affect for sure most packages if you touch it. Libc? Well, not really. There are quite a lot of other packages which will for sure have an impact on the on an upgrade, and libc is only in the 13th position. So the first package, the number which will affect, according to the definition of course, the most number of packages in the archive, is a package called zcc43-base, which is a package I discovered doing this kind of stuff. I didn't even know it exists. And for some reason, you cannot never install libc6 without installing that kind of package. Okay? So we are not sure yet this notion is sensible for defining this, how delicate is a package, but it still has some interesting properties. Okay. But still, this list does not give you any information about how these packages are related. There are some packages in this list which are related. For example, I can tell you that that GCC43 is up there because it is a dependency, a strong dependency of libc6, but there are packages which are totally unrelated. For instance, dpkg or perlbase are not necessarily related. Okay? So we try to check whether we can have a visual representation of the relationship between packages which are really delicate for our archive. And we came up to a notion of dominance. So we have a notion of when one package dominates another package. And the idea of this dominance is that a package P dominates Q if the importance of Q is like of due to the dependencies on P. So consider the example that I gave you before, libc6 and GCC. So basically, why GCC is important? It has really a few packages real depending on it. But yes, there are direct dependencies from him, from libc6 to him. So libc6, in some sense, is dominating GCC, and that explains the importance of GCC base. Apparently, this gives us some fun graph, which I'm going to show you in some more details, which kind of show you our distributions, our releases, in a graphical way, which apparently highlights some important cluster of our packages, like KDE, GNOME, and stuff like that. So all the graphs I'm going to show are available at this URL, where we tentatively have also some JavaScript widget to zoom in SVG files. And I'm trying to check whether Inkscape is able to show them. Not So sorry. Okay, so let's start from some our old distribution of yours, like 0.93. So back then, our distribution was quite simple. So this is not the all the packages in the distribution, but are the cluster of important packages we had in Debian 0.93, which I think is 15 years old now. So we used to have some dialogue stuff on which a small cluster with tech stuff, and another cluster still of tech stuff playing with the path of that distribution. So then go to something I remember a bit better, which is 2.1. Still nothing interesting, very big to see. Oh no, sorry, I'm looking at the... Okay, this is Debian 3.0, where we start seeing some more interesting clusters. So for instance, here we start to have some big GNOME cluster, where you have GNOME support, GNOME bin, GNORBA, and stuff like that. Here we had back then PHP Gopher, which I have no idea if it still exists or not. And also we had some still GNOME. And then we come to something we know a bit well. Loading. So this is a visual representation of Debian 4.0. And we start seeing some relevant cluster of packages. Oh, come on. SVG is a bit painful. There is a Zoom tool here. So this is, for instance, no, that was the bad one. Toot-toot. Okay, he did that. Don't you ever? Okay, I just zoom by hand. Okay, so this kind of big cluster is related to KDE, for instance. And this kind of stuff. So we are getting bigger, we are getting more complex, but the point is that you see that this kind of cluster changes from distro to distro. And for instance, we observed that there was some very stupid dependency in past releases of KDE, where you were forced to install the all KDE games if you wanted some KDE amusement. And this kind of forms tend to disappear from release to release when the maintainer noticed that it was too strict as a dependency. So if you want to name your favorite package, you can try to look it up in this kind of representation. So it is still big, but it is a kind of more reasonable representation than having it's kind of invisible on this kind of presentation. Okay, so this is kind of stuff we have been playing with. And from here, we are going a bit further. So we are doing the same kind of stuff with conflicts. So we are doing tests where we check when two packages are really not co-installable at all. So you take two packages from the archive and you check whether there is no way to co-install them. And doing this kind of experiment, we for instance find out that there was like 1,600 packages which are not co-installable with PPM to FB. And looking a bit more, you find the reason. So basically PPM to FB was declaring a conflict with Python 2.4. And basically all the packages we have in the archive which are Python related require a more recent version of Python. So as a result, this package was suddenly dropped. So this gives you an idea that strong conflicts can be quite useful in discovering old packages which have been neglected. Nobody knows that they can no longer install in any reasonable installation. And we got rid of a couple of packages like that. Finally, what you're going to do next, basically in Mancusi, is like trying to improve the situation of our dependency solving abilities in Debian. So the first step is making all our package managers complete. So basically guarantee that each time there is a way to satisfy user request, then the package manager you use is able to find it. This is the first step. And we're trying to do that also collaborating with package manager developer to factorize out the dependency solving code, because we have a lot of dependency solver in Debian, like one in apt, one in aptitude, which does not use directly the one in apt. Now we are going to have capt and all this kind of stuff. And we're trying to create a common code base to avoid having unexpected results, for example, when you run a build D, which is yet another version of dependency solver. Another thing on which we are working is providing a way for users to specify really precise optimization criteria when they want to install something. So for instance, we want users to be able to minimize the download size of packages when there is different possibility, when there are different possibilities to satisfy user request. Or the same thing with user disk space. So you will have your package manager, which is always able to choose solutions that minimize the installation size, which is quite interesting, for instance, in embedded embedded scenarios. Or even stuff like, OK, I don't want to install at all any package maintained by this guy because I don't trust him. OK? So we're working on this kind of preferences languages. And of course, we want dependency solving to be as fast as possible. I believe you all stumble upon aptitude starting to loop, trying to find solution, and not being able to do so. And to do that, we are planning to organize a solver competition in which basically user will be able to submit their dependency solving problems, like in the style of popcorn. So basically, you can configure our package manager to dump the problem he tried to solve when you provide a request, and we are going to collect them to organize a competition on that. And to do that, to that end, we have already developed a format to exchange upgrade problems, description of upgrade problems, which is distribution independent and works both on in the Red Hat world and the Debian world. And it has currently been implemented in capt. So with capt, you can already dump your kind of dependency scenario. Capt is basically an attempt to re-implement the apt stack being compatible with all options of apt. So it should become a drop-in replacement for apt with a hopefully cleaner code base. And that's it. If you have any question.
Remind everybody to stand up, have a clear view of the front video camera, and I'm about to hand you a mic.
Hi. I and an intern worked in 2006 on the Deb Marshall project, which was facing a lot of the same issues with the dependencies. Mm-hmm. And we did a simpler thing than I think what you did. When you're tracking etch or Sarge, that sort of thing, we just pulled the packages as they were released, and then we tested to see whether they were good, and that let us collapse the version numbers down to what was actually in that particular distribution. It looks like you're attacking the whole problem of all the packages available, and then you find a set that would be consistent.
What do you mean with you were testing whether the package were good or not? Are doing that just for the installability problem. So basically, we check whether they are installable or not in a given distribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, what we were looking at was, you know how on some days, unstable is a perfectly good distribution and you can install it and everything works great. And then there's really bad days where you just don't want to install or upgrade. We were having our mirror process would immediately process the new incoming release, mm-hmm. and go, I can't resolve some of the things in this. So while we'd still pull it and still have it, we wouldn't move a symlink on our file system up to that yet, and none of our systems would upgrade to it until the next day when whatever package problem there was would be resolved.
Okay. So basically it looks like your target is different than ours, because we basically well, not we, in the IDOS project, which predates my involvement, they were trying to look at the final product, so stable releases. So from that point of view, it is pointless to look at daily what happens because users are not supposed to use unstable. Okay, so the idea is to look at the final product you want to release and check whether it is good or not, and it is not having the power to fix it, because with this kind of tool you pinpoint a bad package and you put your hands and look at what's wrong with it.
So you are intending this for targeting unstable or for targeting stable releases?
Well, you can use it on whatever you want, but the point is not necessarily preventing bad things to happen, but rather finding them. So you can integrate it in your package manager, and you can inform you that something bad is going on today in this distribution, and you can prevent it. But this kind of integration was not necessarily the focus. Okay. On your right.
I just wanted to ask for the solving issue. If you intend to use some existing projects, for example, SUSE has a set solver tool which does the things quite good, and if you intend to use this existing tool somehow.
So actually, the SUSE solver descends from work which was done in IDOS. So it is basically the same technology. So they pioneered the idea of mapping the problem to SAT, and then various kind of people started developing their own SAT solver, and one of that was the SUSE one. And so there is currently no shelf technology, but once you decided that that's the way to go, anybody can have his own implementation of the solving. While for the competition, actually, we really hope to have different implementation, because SAT is vague. To have a real efficient solution, you need to look into the precise formula you get, and different people can do different heuristic to try solving the problem in as fast as possible. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much to Zach.